Welcome to Black or World Traveler, the podcast. I'm your host, Shira, and I'm thrilled to invite you to explore the world through the eyes of a Black woman. This is more than just a podcast. It's a celebration of travel, adventure, and culture with a purpose. As a Black woman, our perspective is unique, and it's time to amplify our voices to share our incredible stories. Join me as we inspire and encourage each other to see the world in a new light. This is your go-to lifestyle and travel podcast for meaningful journeys and unforgettable experiences. So whether you're an avid traveler like me or dreaming of your next destination, come to be a part of the Black or World Traveler community. Tune in now and stay connected for amazing tales of travel, adventure, and culture that will leave you inspired. This is the Black or World Traveler podcast, where wanderlust meets purpose. The first thing I want to talk about is solo travel, navigating being a solo traveler, and tips for the fearless explorer. So I like to start off by saying that I had no intention on being a solo traveler. When I first started my journey, I very well wanted people to travel with me. I was so excited at the thought of maybe potentially traveling with a group of people and exploring Europe. So when that didn't happen, I decided to still go anyway. And that was the best thing I could have done for myself. I think that in life, sometimes you have to stand alone. And recently, my therapist told me it's lonely becoming an individual. And that resonated so much more to me now as a 27-year-old adult than it did when I was, 21, almost 22, and sailing out to the world. And so I would encourage anyone listening to this podcast, if you want to travel alone, but you're scared, to act in spite of that fear, because I was scared. As excited as I was, I was going to all these different places. I had no intention of going to 14 countries. That just so happened. I planned on going to about 10, but it ended up being something greater than what I could have imagined. And it's why I'm here today. And so I'm going to encourage everyone listening to this podcast to take a step and leap out on faith, because I had no plans on being a solo traveler, but I'm here today. So some of you may know, hopefully you guys know by now, that I did 14 countries in 8 weeks. So I went to England, France, Germany, Hungary, Iceland, Spain, France. Where else did I go? Belgium, Poland. I can't think of them all, but hopefully that was like close to 14. But I definitely went to 14 countries and my life changed. I think that I didn't realize how big the world was. I had only ever grown up in Philly, and then I went to school in Richmond, Virginia, and that was it. I knew there was a bigger world out there because I actually originally wanted to go to school in California. I wanted to go to UC Berkeley, but I never had the courage to apply. And looking back on that, that was the right decision. I definitely wish that I would have went to an HBCU. Definitely. That's like one of my biggest regrets from undergrad. But I ended up where I ended up, and I ended up being able to travel to Cuba and Ecuador while I was studying abroad in my sophomore and junior years. And that sort of gave me the push to be able to want to backpack Europe. And so I saved my money. I worked like 3 jobs. I always have worked 3 jobs up until, this past year. Or this past, in 2022 is when I stopped having multiple jobs, because I needed rest. My body needed rest. But so I saved the money and I backpacked Europe. And the only places that I didn't do by myself were Hungary and Italy. My cousin came to visit me. And before my cousin came to Hungary, I actually started to have this sort of spiritual journey. I remember I was staying in a hostel and it had like a little curtain for privacy. It was like a hospital style room. In a hospital, when you share a room, they just give you a curtain to sort of divide the room. That's what we had in Hungary. And I realized then that, wow, I'm really alone in this process. But despite me having someone on the way to come rescue from my loneliness, it was in that moment, and Hungary was right before my halfway point, that I realized that I have to sit with my thoughts. Why am I here? I started to have these sort of existential crisis and question my purpose and why was I here. what was I running from? Because when I graduated college, I was like, you know what? I've worked hard for the past 22 years, maybe 17 years since kindergarten to get to where I am. I graduated college with honors. I graduated top 10% of my high school class. I wasn't happy. And that's part of the reason why I traveled, because I was searching for a deeper purpose. I was searching for a deeper meaning in everything that I was experiencing in my life. And so when I got to Hungary and I was alone and just looking at my curtain, I thought to myself, why am I here? And I'm still figuring that out. I think I'm very close to my purpose now in my aligned work with Black Girl World Traveler. But it was in that moment of stillness that I had to really sit with myself. And that's what solo travel really teaches you. You have to sit with yourself. You have to be uncomfortable. You have to sit in those moments of silence. Your chest has to clench up. Your mind has to race. You have to cry. You have to, you know, get angry. And, you know, do whatever it is that you need to do to feel like you are getting the answers that you need. And I know for me at 22, I definitely was searching for the answers. I didn't know what more my life was going to be. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I knew I just was willing to do whatever it took to be successful. But what did successful look like for me? It was, you know, maybe making a lot of money. It was, but by the time I graduated college, I realized that my life wasn't going to be money focused, because I had turned down a corporate job that by now I would have been definitely making six figures in, because I knew that that wasn't the type of environment that I would have thrived in. Coming from a predominantly white institution such as my college, I knew I wouldn't thrive in another predominantly white institution, even though it would have been a corporation. I just knew that that wasn't for me. And so Hungary, back to the point of how it's positively impacted my life. Of course, you know, I never thought I'd be in Hungary. I don't even know if I knew what Hungary was prior to like world history in ninth grade. So of course, getting to experience new places. But more than that, I got to experience myself on a whole new level. And that is the power of solo travel. When I think about all that I've been able to accomplish personally, it's because of travel. Those 8 weeks, 14 countries, forever changed my life because I had to sit with myself. And so I encourage you, Black women that are listening to this podcast, to sit with yourself. And you don't have to travel to 14 countries in 8 weeks, but you should take some time to just sit with yourself and really figure out who you are and what you want to do in this world and what's your purpose. So that's what travel, that particular instance of traveling to Hungary, like how it changed my life for the better. I want to expand on that, you know, getting to know myself and to sitting with myself. I think that the power of solo travel is that it teaches you who you really are. So I was questioning who I was after my trip. And then after that, I realized, you know, I've been strong for so long. I've been strong. I've been, you know, I overcame childhood adversity. I graduated top 10% of my class in high school. I graduated magna cum laude at my college. And I prided myself, and I still do pride myself on being a strong person. But when I had to sit with myself, I realized on my travels, I realized how weak I was. I realized how fragile I was. And I hope that in doing, you know, in traveling, we're able to discover, like, the duality. Maybe this is the Gemini in me talking, but the duality and the two-ness that we have. And we may see ourselves as one way, but it's because we are also the other opposite. And so I've always viewed myself as strong, but in order to be strong, you have to be weak. And if you feel like you're weak, that means you have internal strength in you that you haven't, you know, found yet. And so I realized through that process of figuring out, like, no, I'm not actually strong. I'm very weak and I'm very fragile, and I don't want to work as hard anymore. I don't want to push myself, that I also had to become my own healer. And I would be lying if I said that today, you know, I'm fully healed or I'm in a much better space. I actually wouldn't be lying if I said that I am in a much better space, but healing is a forever journey. And that's what I've learned through travel, because I thought that, you know, my experience in Hungary was so great. I had this sort of epiphany that when I got to the next several countries that I would feel the same way, or, you know, I was sort of waiting for like this enlightening to happen, but it never did. And that's because healing is a forever journey. We will never be fully healed from whatever trauma that we have faced in our lives. And we all have trauma, whether we realize it or not. And so I think I learned from that trip, traveling to Hungary, that I have to become my own self-healer. And I have to do the work to really become a whole person. It's great being a strong Black woman, but it's also great to be a soft Black woman in times where, you know, I don't always feel my best, and that's okay. And I don't always feel like I can do everything. I just want to sit down. I just want peace. I just want to cry, whatever I need to do. And I started to realize that on my journey to across Europe, which would eventually become me living in Spain for a year. So I'm very happy and proud of that trip and how it not only helped me, you know, fulfill my wanderlust, but it also helped fulfill my soul. I also want to talk about, on a more practical side, what you need as a fearless solo traveler. There are things that I always have that I think that you, as a fearless Black woman solo traveler, should have. And those are a neck pillow. If you're like me, you fall asleep anywhere, anytime, any place. You need a neck pillow to protect your neck. This has saved me countless times on so many different flights. I never go anywhere without my neck pillow. And I have a clip one, so I can clip it onto my suitcase. And it just goes everywhere I go. I also have the neck pillow that rolls up. So it's compact and it's able to be transported anywhere. And I absolutely love it. The next thing that I love to carry with me and I have to carry with me is headphones. Now, recently, some of my followers on Instagram have told me, you know, get noise canceling headphones, because I've had the unfortunate luck of being on several flights with crying, screaming babies that wouldn't go to sleep, and babies got to get to where they're going to. So babies definitely have to fly. But during times where, like, I take overnight flights or super early morning flights, I don't want to hear screaming babies. So noise canceling headphones. I have Beats. I also have the regular ear pods. So I go nowhere without them. It's also really good when you're hands free. I love talking to people when I'm traveling. It just gets me excited, like if I'm on the phone. And so ear pods are definitely an essential that I always take wherever I go. Sometimes I forget my noise canceling headphones because they are bigger, but my AirPods are coming with me everywhere I go. I think that every solo fearless traveler needs their phone. This goes without saying, you need your phone. You need to have some sort of internet or phone connection in whatever country you're in, and that research should be done prior to help you figure out, you know, what SIM card you need to get or what phone service you need to get. They all should be taken care of ahead of time, but you need your phone and you also need the Maps app, and you need it to be available online. Now, there are certain platforms that you can download. Forget what the one that was in Morocco that we used, but we used that one to be able to get around the city even if we didn't have internet, and that was super helpful. So in every case, every solo Black female traveler needs their phone. If you are like me and you need to take vitamins, whatever type of pills you need, supplements, you need to have your pill case. And I love pill cases because they're super compact and I'm able to take them with me wherever I go. I never get stopped when I use them in my carry-on bag, so a pill case is definitely necessary. I will also say what's necessary is a little toiletry kit. I always carry like a little toiletry bag, and this is super helpful for when your flights get delayed or you are stuck somewhere longer than you need to be, but you want to freshen up. Have you ever been on a flight that's a little bit too long and you start to feel like my breath is a little tarred, or I don't feel as fresh? So what I like to do is literally super small. I wish I could show you guys something that represents the size, but it's super small. It's a toiletry bag, and inside I'll have like a pad, I have a portable toothbrush and toothpaste, I'll also have mints, I'll have a little thing of soap, and I'll have flushable toilet wipes. And this to me has been super helpful when my flights get delayed, and it's just like, all right, I've been in this airport a little too long. I need to freshen up. And you can take, and because it's like a little bag, you can take it with you. It's a carry-on item, so you will never have to worry about like TSA taking it or anything like that. But those are pretty much the basic things. Everything else is negotiable. Now, I know that for me personally, I'm taking my makeup with me everywhere I go because I love a B face. For you, that may be your art. Everybody, every traveler has like that little thing that they're not going anywhere without. And for me, that's makeup. But I wouldn't say that that's required. That's just something that I'm not willing to give up. I do think another tip that has helped me, and that every Black solo female traveler needs, a fearless woman, we need our packing cubes. Packing cubes are very, very useful in terms of, you know, separating our different types of clothing that we have and just making sure that we can fit everything. I know that that's a huge problem for me. So packing cubes definitely have helped me along my packing journey, because Lord knows it's still a struggle. I'm always like over the limit, 60 pound suitcases. My carry-ons are like stuffed to the brim. I bring the biggest possible carry-on. I'm a work in progress. I think too, the shoes, that's what really gets me, the shoes, because I need to have a pair of shower shoes, right? And then I need like a pair of sneakers in case I want to go to the gym or I'm doing walking tours. And then I need like a nicer pair of shoe. And I love boots, and boots are heavy and thick. And so the boots make my check bag 60 pounds every time, single-handedly. So you just got to decide, I think, as you're packing, like what you're willing to negotiate on. Like for me, I'm bringing my makeup. For you, you'll have to decide what that is and just, you know, continue to play Tetris, I like to call it, with your suitcase. But every woman needs their pill case. If you need to take vitamins, you need your neck pillow, you need your headphones, and you need your cell phone. If you have those things, you can get around and survive anywhere, anytime, any place, any continent, in any location. So those are my tips of things that you always, always need. I'm going to tell you guys how to effectively plan a trip as you are, you know, be going down your road, becoming that solo fearless traveler, how to choose where to go. So for me, at this point in my life, I am all about going to Black destinations. I want to see and witness and feel and be a part of the Black diaspora. I'm excited to go to places, and Black people are everywhere, so I can pretty much go anywhere that I want to go, right? But for you, if you are planning trips, the first question you should be asking yourself is, what do I want to get out of this trip? And I think a lot of times we work backwards. We think like, oh, I'll go here. We just make up things in our mind, not really having like an end goal in mind. And so, and I'm guilty of this. Like, I decided, you know, I want to go to New Orleans recently just because I wanted to go to Mardi Gras. Instead of thinking my goal is to see another aspect of New Orleans culture, because New Orleans is my favorite U.S. city. And so if we work in a different way to how, you know, we plan and travel our travel trips and do our research, I think that we as solo Black women, fearless travelers, will get much more out of our experiences. And so think about, what do I want to get out of this trip? Have you ever like asked yourself that? Because I haven't, honestly, until recently. Before, I had like very like egotistical goals, like I want to go to this many countries before I turn 30. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is amazing. I got to 25 countries by the time I was 25. And that was like the biggest feat that I had accomplished. And I'm damn proud of it. So if you have those sort of goals that feed your ego, don't feel bad about it. You're the shit, and you should do those things and accomplish those things. I would say, once you decide like what you want to get out of it, you got to say like, why? Why do I want to go to this place? What makes this place better than another place? What makes Jamaica better than Dominican Republic, for example? That would be something, that would be like a comparative model that you can take into account, because some places can offer you the same things, but they're two totally different prices. So if you go to Jamaica versus Dominican Republic, the prices might be like around the same. Honestly, they're very similar. They're both in the Caribbean, but they But in terms of like the culture and what you might get from Dominican culture is going to be very different from what you are going to get from Jamaican culture. And that's just an example that I use. But you have to be really clear about like the goals that you have and why you're choosing a certain place. Now, from there, once you answer those two main questions, you know, it's go time. I think that after you've narrowed down your goals and your why you've chosen the place, it's easy to choose, like, you know, your accommodations and your transportation. Me personally, I don't like hotels. Now, I don't like hotels because I just feel like they're overpriced and they tend to be in very, very, very touristy areas. And so I typically don't like to stay in hotels when I travel. However, Airbnb has rightfully, and when the sites like it, Vrbo and whatever else, you know, all these booking sites where you can book to stay in like an apartment, a condo, someone's house, they have exorbitant fees. And so, you know, we're seeing like a lot of people transition back into booking at hotels, which I'm all in favor of because those fees are ridiculous. And I think that Airbnb has gotten greedy. And I totally agree with, you know, the restrictions being placed on Airbnb in certain cities to, you know, not displace renters. So it's very, very hard. But with accommodations, I would just say go with your best gut, your best judgment. If you like the luxury of a hotel, stay in a hotel. If you like an Airbnb, stay in an Airbnb. My only advice that I would give is to look at reviews. My sort of test is, okay, if three people are saying the same thing, this is probably true, whether it's good or bad. So if I see that, you know, this is a great place and the owner had wonderful customer service, or if I see three different people saying, oh, that their hot water pressure was low, I'm believing those three people, because three or more people to me having a review and saying something about a place is an indication of a pattern. And so that's just the test that I use. If three or more people are saying it, it's true. And from there, you know, you book your accommodations. And then from there, for transportation, I would say if you want to feel like you're on vacation, definitely do not rent a car. Rental cars are a hassle. It's like having your own car, but just in another city or country. Now, if you're in a certain place where you want to do sightseeing, like say if you're going to Iceland, you need a car. I went to Iceland and I booked all the trips and the tours and did all of that. And I did not see as much of the country as I should have had I rented a vehicle. But Iceland is also extremely expensive. And at the time, I definitely could not afford to visit the entire country. But I was so excited to see Iceland. I mean, I never thought I'd go to Iceland. I mean, it's fucking Iceland. I can't believe some of the shit I did. But anyways, yeah, if you want to feel like you're on vacation, just book the tours and try to support Black businesses in whatever country that you're in, local businesses, the small mom and pop shops. I would say like the taxi drivers and the people that tend to be like near hotels, while they may be locals, you definitely may get scammed in terms of like the prices that you pay, especially when you're doing like hotels and resorts. Everything is just inflated. They inflate every single thing. So that's why I like not staying at hotels and like finding local people. I am all about that, like finding local businesses. And if you find like real local businesses that are like, you know, these are like native people that have been here and, you know, they cook really good food, they probably know someone who could be like your personal taxi driver. It's probably like their friend or their cousin who could provide you that service, and you're like supporting that local person directly. I'm more of a fan of that, and that's what I advocate, as opposed to, you know, trying to like get a taxi services number and like have them transport you everywhere. But depending on your goals of your trip, you may need to either rent a car or hire someone to drive you around. I'm not opposed to either. It just depends on the goals of the trip. I know in places like Costa Rica where you need like a four-wheel drive car, there's so many different types of terrain and, you know, there's rainforest and all that. Me personally, while I can drive through that, I would prefer not to. Like, I know I'm definitely more like, I just want to hike, or I'm just here for the adventure. I don't necessarily want to do all that. But if you know your goals are the trip or to, you know, explore the different rainforests and, you know, see different ecological aspects of a country, you know what you need to do. And you probably need to hire someone to take you to those different places to see. But definitely support local people and support the local Black people in your countries and in the cities that you're going to. And that comes with, like, preparation. Because sometimes when we do things last minute, it's just like we're scrambling. I try to not book trips last minute, especially at this point in my life. I like to have at least one trip a month now, but planned in advance. And so, for example, when I go to New Orleans, I'm staying at this lovely local woman's house in Treme, and it's beautiful, and, you know, she's a local New Orleans native. And so while it is on the Airbnb platform, I am supporting this amazing, like, young woman. And I'm also in a historical neighborhood that is very Black. I'm very excited. I love New Orleans. But I'm going to be specific about where I choose to spend my money, like the restaurants I choose to go to, even though a lot of the chains are really good and like the bigger ones, there's so many like small businesses that I plan on supporting while I'm there. And in terms of transportation, we'll probably use Lyft, just because I don't know anyone out there that I can trust to give me the transportation personnel that I would need. You know, basically like a personal driver, which I'm more than happy to pay for. But, you know, you got to trust people. And that comes with like building relationships. And that's why I'm so big on like finding Black people wherever you go and build those relationships. Find a good restaurant and ask them if they know somebody. And if not, you know, you can. But be intentional and make that effort to support local communities. That's what it's all about. I want to talk about being confident when you travel, especially as a solo, fearless Black woman traveler. Now, I think this idea of fearlessness and I can do it all, I think it's a myth, because I'm scared as shit. I'm scared as shit when I go to new places, but I'm not letting it stop me. And I think that is the narrative that we need to put forth. Like, yo, this is brave. This is courageousness that I'm putting forth. It's not fearlessness, because I'm scared out of my mind. I'm a Black woman and I'm going to these places by myself. New places too. It's not just like I'm going to places that I've been before. But every time I begin planning for a new trip or a new place to go, I'm scared out of my fucking mind. I don't know anyone there. You know, of course there are Black people everywhere, but I haven't met these people before. I don't know what I'm walking into. And so I think that instead of fearlessness, we need to put forth a narrative of courageousness, of bravery, of humility, because it takes a brave person to quiet their ego. That's saying, don't do it. Because your ego is there to protect you and also to warn you, like, if danger is coming or if you're about to enter into an unknown situation. And so let's change the narrative from fearlessness to bravery and courageousness. And that's something to be celebrated. If you travel anywhere by yourself, with your friends, with your family, whether domestically, internationally, you are brave and you are courageous and you deserve to be celebrated. So, cheers to you. I'm so proud of you for doing that. Now, I want to talk about the differences between urban and remote travel. So for me, I think cities, major cities, are a great touch point into your entry into a new country. So for example, when I went to the Czech Republic, the first city I went to was Prague. Prague is, you know, the capital city, the major city. I don't know if it's the capital, but it's definitely the major city of Czech Republic, and it's the most well-known, right? So usually when you go into the major cities, it's cheaper. That's a hack. When you fly into the major cities, you know, you get a feel of the city, you see the nightlife, the people. Typically, there's more diversity in the largest cities in a country. So that's another reason why I think that urban cities are a good touch point to explore your travel, to begin your travels in a new place. Now, however, the remote areas, the lesser known areas, are where it's at. I'm telling you. So Prague. I went to Prague first, and Prague was amazing. I had a great time in Prague. Prague was actually the place where I think I ran out of money, and I had to do a credit card advance. That was so embarrassing. That was so embarrassing. But no one was around, but it was just like, goddamn, I ran out of money, and I need euros. So I just, like, went to the ATM that was, like, next to the hostel and just, like, quietly got the money. But I was like, God damn, I'm having too much fun. And Prague was really, really dope. I spent Christmas in Prague in 2018, which is, I can't believe I can get to say that to people. Like, I went to Prague and I was there on Christmas. Huh? Like, who am I? What have I done? What have I started? This crazy wanderlust of mine. And so, yeah. So I started off in Prague, but then the real good city was Český Krumlov, which I believe is like an hour or two outside of Prague. And so that is a smaller city. It's like kind of well known in Europe. And it's well known to people that are interested in traveling to the Czech Republic. It's like a thing that people do. They'll do like a day trip to Český Krumlov. I actually ended up staying a few days there. And the food that I had was phenomenal. Oh my God, the chicken, mashed potatoes. It's just like really old Europeanness. And I don't want to romanticize it, but it was nice. It was very like peaceful and calm. And it's just castles, which to me are boring. I've seen enough castles and cathedrals for a lifetime. But it was just a really, really beautiful and like serene place. And it's very romantic. So if you're listening to this and thinking about honeymooning, you could go to Český Krumlov in Czech Republic and hit up a couple of the other cities to really get like what you need to know and like a better feel. So after Český Krumlov, I went to Český Budějovice. I don't think I'm saying it right, but it's okay. It's where Budweiser was founded and started. Now, that was a cool place, too. I'm not really a fan of Budweiser in terms of, like, beer. I don't really like beer in general, but it is a place that I can say that I've been to. And it's definitely worth a visit. It's calm, too. It's calm, quiet, lots of nice parks. And, you know, you get to say that you were in the town that where Budweiser was founded, but my point being is that when you're in a more urban setting like Prague, that's lit, that's, you know, popping or whatever, versus a Český Krumlov or Český Budějovice, your experiences are going to be different, right? And it all goes back to your goals. If you want to be lit, have fun, go to Prague. If you want a more relaxed, romantic type setting, go to Český Krumlov. Go to take a little day trip to Český Budějovice. It just depends on your goals and what you're trying to get out of it. I think that the most important thing that you can do as a solo Black fearless traveler, courageous traveler, brave traveler is to, you know, alert your family about where you're going to be. That's, you know, if you use WhatsApp, you have it on that on your phone, you create your itineraries. I like the free app, canva.com. It's also a website. You can create your itineraries and share them. You can download them and share them with your family. I also think that having some form of self-defense, like, I'm of the belief that if you start something, I'm gonna finish it. Like, when it comes to my safety, I am not violent at all. I don't really believe in violence, but I definitely believe in self-defense. And I want to say, as a Black woman, the only place that I truly ever felt unsafe in Europe was in Italy. The most unsafe I've ever felt was in Morocco. I hated my time in Morocco because I constantly was sexually harassed and just harassed and yelled at constantly. It was awful. And so for me, was helped allay my fears about being attacked or if something happens to me when I travel, is to just learn self-defense. So first and foremost, like, I am trained in kickboxing. So I do know how to fight. And I learned that while I was living alone in downtown Philly, and that really like empowered me. Like, yo, I can kick some ass. I know how to take down a grown man. I know where to hit. I know how to throw a proper punch. I know how to like block a punch if I were ever to be hit. And so learning kickboxing really helped. You can learn kickboxing, you can learn regular boxing, you can learn Muay Thai, you can learn capoeira, whatever you want. Like just some sort of like basic self-defense techniques, just in case you're ever touched. Cause that's I think my biggest fear as a black woman traveling alone. I just don't want people to touch me. Like, I don't want the touching of my hair. I don't want you touching, like, my body, my butt. Like, just don't touch me. But as a black woman traveler, a lot of times we get people that feel like they have access to our bodies. And maybe they're not meaning any harm, but it is extremely harmful to ever touch a black woman's body without their consent. And so, if you can learn how to, you know, slap a bitch if necessary, I'm all for that. If you feel like you want to carry weapons, I would say make sure that they're discreet. I did have a knife that TSA took. It was like a knife, a can opener. It was like multi-purpose. I want to go back to the point where I felt really unsafe in Morocco. So I think when you're traveling to places that have an extremely different culture, like Moroccan culture, African culture, Moroccan culture more specifically is very different than Western culture. Women are expected to be much more subservient, submissive. We did garb the entire time, so we did wear our hijabs out of respect for the Islam culture, which I absolutely loved. I loved garbing. I felt beautiful. And most people actually thought we were from Sudan, which is in a black African Muslim country, instead of from the United States, where me and my friend at the time actually were from. So that was interesting, but I felt unsafe because I actually was grabbed. And so that goes to the point of like, I don't want to be touched. And navigating that was super stressful for me because we were in Marrakesh and just like, it was constant. Like I got called a bitch, like a black bitch. Because I wouldn't talk to a person. It was just constant, like, harassment. Part of that was because it was clear that we were tourists. We do not look Moroccan. But it's also just, like, the culture of, like, how men treat women. And I just could not take it. I was, like, actually overwhelmed. And when I did get grabbed, I was like, this is it. Like, one of us is not making this out alive. Like, one of us is not making this experience out alive. Like, I was fully prepared to, like, fight to death. Because I'm like, it's super late outside. We're just trying to walk back to our Riyadh. And this man is trying to grab me because I refuse to talk to him. That's another thing. That's another, like, cultural difference. In America, when I am catcalled, I can just ignore the person. And typically, most times, they'll just walk away or they'll just like keep driving or keep going on. Now, there are notable exceptions because there have absolutely been women in America who have died because they have refused to talk to a man, which is insane. But I think that when it happened in Morocco and I refused to talk to that man, it was just like, he was like grabbing me like, how dare you not acknowledge my presence? Like, I was like, ooh. It was a lot for me in Morocco. He just stopped talking to me and like went away. But I was very scared. I was actually very, very scared because I knew I was about to fight a grown man and I was fully ready to, you know, do what needed to be done. I was going to do whatever necessary to get back to my Riyadh so we could continue on with our trip through Morocco. And so that was the only time I truly ever felt unsafe. I know that many women have other countries that they've been to where they probably have had similar experiences. And I would just say, if you can, and I hate to recommend this because we are, you know, this is an episode about solo travel, but I realize how important it is to maybe have a man there, a man's presence there, even if it's not like a significant other, but someone you trust to just hit his presence alone sometimes is enough to ward off wanted male attention. And that's so unfortunate that we have to like accept that as the truth. But that is honestly the only thing that I've saw that has worked to keep harassers at bay. And if you are like me, you don't necessarily have a man that you trust that you can travel with, you know, carry your weapons. If you don't have your weapons, only go out during the day. Or if you do want to go out, go out with locals. Big thing as a solo female traveler, you're going to have to learn how to, you're going to have to be comfortable with speaking to strangers and talking to strangers and saying hi. And it's like, you know, you're going to stand out anyway because you're a foreigner and you don't look like you're a local. So just be okay with like meeting people, I would say. And it's okay to be shy and like reserved, but you know, if someone speaks to you, you speak back to them and sort of like build rapport and like ask to be their friend or like hang out with them and things like that. Because that's honestly how I've had the best experiences. I met someone there and then went on from there. Now in Morocco, I just ragged on Marrakesh, but I actually really did enjoy Casablanca. Casablanca was the complete opposite of Marrakesh. I know people don't really like Casablanca because it's like the financial center that people say is boring. I love Casablanca. I did not get harassed nor catcalled at all. I was able to walk around freely. They had a little beach. They had this big mall. Like, I like Casablanca a lot. So, I definitely wouldn't write off Morocco completely, but it's definitely something to be aware of. And honestly, going to the desert of Morocco, it's on the border of Algeria, was absolutely amazing. So, I would not write off Morocco completely. I would just say, as a solo, fearless Black woman traveler, you need to be aware of the cultural differences and be prepared to show like a lot of respect and deference to those different cultures that you may come across in your travels. So overall, I just want to encourage you beautiful Black women to travel the world. Come on, we need more of you, y'all. We need you to join the Black Girl World Traveler community. Join us at Facebook, search me up, Black Girl World Traveler, join our Black Girl World Traveler community, follow me at Black Girl World Traveler, please engage with me, send me a DM, let me know the parts of this episode that resonated with you the most, and most of all, do the work of getting to know yourself, your purpose, why you're here, and be brave and courageous, and do all the things that you want to do, because, you know, we're here, we only live once, and you know, I want to see you all win. I want to see as many Black women as possible win. And I'm so grateful that you all are on this journey with me to fulfill our wanderlust with a purpose. Thanks for listening to Black Girl World Traveler podcast today. I hope you enjoyed our talk about exploring the world through a Black woman's perspective. In this episode, we cover solo travel, being brave and courageous, doing the work, and being your own self-healer. I'm all about celebrating meaningful adventures together. Before I wrap up, a special thanks to the Black Girl World Traveler community who has been supporting me since 2018. You guys make this journey special. Remember, the adventure continues. Keep exploring. Stay true to your journey. We'll catch you next time. Take care. Shira.